Well, question, how do you cover a president who repeats lies? Donald Trump lies about the popular vote, the New York Times editorial page read yesterday. This was after Trump tweeted that he won the popular vote if you deduct the millions of people who voted illegally. Secretaries of state who run elections howled, said there was no fraud, except isolated cases like the Trump supporter who voted twice because she thought there was voter fraud and her first vote might not count. As the Times wrote, the claim of millions of illegal voters is a lie. So how to report that? David Folkenflik, NPR media correspondent, is here now. And David, I said Donald Trump repeats lies. The Times went on to say it's part of a pattern of disregard for indisputable facts. So does that make Donald Trump a chronic liar? And should journalists be more direct and say that?
Such a good question. Oh. I think that in journalism, we tend not to call things lies because lies suggest intent. And we really tend not to call people liars because we can't look into their minds and their hearts. And yet if something is asserted without evidence, indeed in the face of countervailing evidence, and I think that the question of birthers, who made claims about President Obama not being born in this country with all evidence proving he was born in Hawaii when he said he was that it's hard not to look at that and call it a lie. The risk for the press is that if you call things – if you call people names, and particularly if you call people names rather than acts by their names, but you alienate a lot of their supporters and they may not look at you as honest brokers. And that's a dilemma we haven't fully grappled with. I think there's a difference between the New York Times editorial pages doing it and the news pages doing it. But I think on occasion it's important. But language matters. The Times today wrote about issues about what terms we're using right now in talking about a lot of the movements that helped Trump get to the White House. And in passing, they mentioned the question of torture, which for the longest time the New York Times did not use to apply to such things as waterboarding, which clearly under international law absorbed into federal law years ago is torture. It is a violation of the Geneva Conventions and federal law. And yet today, if you looked in their news pages on the front page, they called in a subheadline a waterboarding a form of torture. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is important to be very clear with that. In words that are names, I think we have to be a little more sparing because you want to make sure you reach the public you're trying to help inform.
Right, and inform them. Right. Trump attacked CNN's Jeff Zeleny, called him a part-time journalist after Zeleny was looking into voter fraud. Zeleny tweeted back, full-time journalist here looking for examples of voter fraud. What about that? Should journalists engage with Donald Trump on Twitter? And how to cover tweets? It seems you can't ignore a president's tweets. But we've had listeners say that lets Trump steer the conversation, maybe away from policy, for instance.
I think there's a couple layers to this. I think first off, you absolutely can engage with Donald Trump and his campaign on Twitter. You engage with the incoming president of the United States and his team in any way that you can yield something fruitful and acknowledge you're not retreating from the field of holding powerful figures accountable. That's what journalists are supposed to do, at its core, the civic good that we provide. And I think Jeff Zeleny, who I've known for almost two decades, is a tremendous journalist and, unquestionable integrity, who is trying to do his job. David Fahrenthold, who did such good work and continues to do so, holding Trump accountable for his promises, for what he's done with his charities, a lot of what he did was on Twitter in sort of asking for help in tracking down what now appear to be essentially non-existent Trump donations to veterans groups. He did stuff on Twitter and continually presented complex questions on Twitter to the Trump campaign, in part to show the public what he was interested in and in part to show the Trump campaign that no one could say that he hadn't posed those questions directly and completely. Yeah. In terms of Trump's own tweeting, let me briefly say, I think it's fine. I would love for news organizations, maybe it would be 30 seconds every other hour in our newscast or something. Maybe it would be a box on the inside page of the Washington Post every day, but maybe it's the Trump du jour and you sort of acknowledge what he's talked about. Maybe it's flag burning. You say this is unconstitutional and the Senate majority leader of his own party, a new ally, is forthrightly against banning flag burning because it is against the constitutional protections on free speech, and then move on and cover the things that the incoming administration is actually doing.
And of course,
doing.
We know other presidents have lied. Clinton, I have not had relations. Nixon lied. But according to PolitiFact, only 4% of the fact-check statements from Donald Trump they found were totally true. So we seem to be in a new arena. David Folkenflik, NPR media correspondent. Thanks as always.
You bet.